Well, I'm going to ask Dan to come up, and he's just going to share a short reading with us from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but those who are being saved in the power of God.
Thanks, Dan. Well, I wonder, what do you see when you look at the cross? Do you see someone whose life, so full of promise, that was doing so much good in this world, was cut short? His life was so sadly cut short. Or do you see this as the most incredible victory and the mightiest and most powerful way of rescue for this world? You see, for many people, back when this letter that Dan just read out to us, when it was written, to hear about a king, a saviour that had been killed on a cross, that would have been unheard of. The cross was humiliating, it was brutal, it was a public event. It wouldn't even been mentioned in public conversation because of its brutal and graphic nature. And to say that this, through the cross, that's the way that God has chosen to rescue the world, well, you've probably been laughed at. You'd have been mocked, or maybe even looked on at disgust. Maybe here this evening, you just can't see how the cross makes any sense. What good could possibly achieve through someone dying so horrifically on the cross? Someone dying on the cross doesn't rescue anyone. It's hopeless. It's a criminal's death. Not a king's way of rescue. But this passage that we've just read out says that the cross isn't going to make any sense. We're not going to understand it if we don't understand why Jesus was being crucified. It's going to seem foolish if we don't get what Jesus was doing on the cross. I don't know whether you have watched Star Wars. I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan, some Star Wars fans down the front there. And in one of their newest films, recently released, one of the main characters, I won't spoil it for you if you're looking to see it, but was killed out of nowhere. They were having just an ordinary conversation about the galaxy, and then boom, just killed out of nowhere. A surprise to even the one being killed. But you see, with Jesus, when we go through his life in the gospel accounts, his death on a cross doesn't come as a surprise at all. It's not a shocking plot twist. Jesus tells his disciples constantly leading up to this event that he would have to die. In one of the accounts of Jesus' life in the book of Mark, in chapter 10, verses 32 and 34, it records these words for us. They were now on their way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen to him. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. They will hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him." It's incredible words, isn't there, that Jesus mentions. But you see, there are two problems that we as people face, the Bible says. We have a huge sin problem. It's within our hearts, within our attitudes, within our actions. They all point, tell God to shove off. They say, "I'm in charge." They say no to your way of living. We don't want to know him. We don't want to listen to him. And you know what? Because of that attitude, we're cut off from a relationship with God. And we deserve hell. The Bible says that. We deserve God to judge us. And it's a problem that we all face. And it's a serious situation. But you see, this is where the verses that we've just read out come into play. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You see, the second part of this verse, it says those who are being saved. It's telling us that there's some form of rescue here, that people can be saved from the situation that we're in. And it comes through this message of the cross. Why? Because it says this is the power of God. Because through Jesus dying on the cross, through a suffering, a weak and afflicted Saviour, Jesus, the only person to have lived a perfect life, comes and rescues us from the problem of sin that we all have. He takes on the wrong that we have upon himself, our guilt, our sin, and he takes the punishment from God that we deserve, allowing us to be here this evening, forgiven and welcomed into a relationship with the living God. The message of the cross might sound foolish and hopeless to the world, but when we understand what Jesus was accomplishing, when we realize it's the power of God to rescue us from the problem of our sin because of his great love for us, we see that the cross is a great triumph. It's a victory for us. The punishment that we deserve is completely taken away because Jesus took it upon himself on the cross. So what do you see when you look at the cross? Do you see a hopeless end to such a promising life, or a victorious triumph over our biggest and most serious problem? And what we're going to remember in a couple of moments when we come to our time of communion is the cross. And those who come in faith, who come in trust to what Jesus has done for them, well, we remember our rescue. We remember forgiveness by God through what Jesus has done. It's the only way. There is no other way. Maybe during that time also, consider the fact, maybe if this is brand new to you, consider the fact that someone was willing to take your sin, to take my sin upon himself and take the punishment so that we could know him once again. What love can match this? What love can match this? But earlier on I said that we face two problems. And that we as people face. One was our sin, and the other one is death. We all face the problem of death. But let me finish just by reading adding the last sentence to that passage from Mark that we just read on earlier, where Jesus is telling his disciples about what is going to happen to him in Jerusalem. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again." Do you know, our King, we celebrate this evening our King's triumph over sin, nailing it to the cross. But come Sunday morning, we'll be celebrating our King's triumph over death. And maybe you want to come along to that service Sunday morning at D Stafford, when we'll be celebrating together as God's people, singing praise to him that he is risen from the dead, and finding out what Jesus' resurrection means for all of us here this evening. Our King has triumphed sin, and he will triumph death, as we will celebrate on Sunday morning. Well, we're going to sing a song before we have our time of communion, and it speaks about the place where Jesus was crucified. And hopefully this evening, we will just be able to reflect more and more upon that precious, precious act of love for us to take upon our sin and take the punishment that we deserve. It's something that we never grow out of. It's something that doesn't become boring to us as Christians, because this is our message. This is what we proclaim, and we will praise him for everything that he has done for us.